My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. A portion again of the gospel reading this morning that I'd like to consider with you from Mark, the sixth chapter. We'll start at verse 39. Mark records, then he, Jesus, commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. This is God's word. Please be seated. In our Old Testament reading today, God says through his prophet Jeremiah, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." This is God's indictment of Israel's kings, who were supposed to be shepherds of God's people in the Old Testament. God's plan was for his one flock, Israel, to worship their one God, Yahweh, and to do so in one place, the temple. And there at the temple, the priests would take care of God's people, nurturing them in the Word of God and making all of those sacrifices by which God would graciously forgive their sins. And the role of the kings then, by their word and example, was to tend to the people, to shepherd them to the Lord and to His temple and to the Word of God, uniting the flock in worship and in the service of the one true God. That was the plan. But these kings failed miserably as Israel shepherds. And instead of uniting the flock in the faith, God says through Jeremiah, "You have scattered my flock and you have driven them away." Not only did these kings worship other gods themselves, but they encouraged all of Israel to do so as well, by setting up all over Israel these high places, so-called, as local worship centers dedicated to the worship of these other gods, these foreign gods. And so Israel, with the encouragement of their shepherds, worshiped in all of these high places rather than at God's temple. God's flock was scattered. Now it was many flocks, serving many gods in many places. And you know, the same thing is still happening. The prince of this world seduces us to worship other gods in their various high places and to be absent from the Lord's temple. We just look around us this morning and we realize that much of the flock is not here, but is scattered. So where are they? Are they at their high places, pursuing the things that they love and live for? Because after all, isn't that what worship is? Worship is about what you love and live for above all else. And some people love and live for family. So their high places are at home or wherever the family is. That's where they are today. Some people love and live for their friends. And so they are at their high places, on the golf course or restaurants, maybe on social media, wherever they can nurture friendships or maybe gain friends in this world. For some people, they love and live for fortune, what this world has to offer. And so their high places are perhaps at work, where they can earn their fortune, or maybe at the store, where they can spend their fortune and gather all the things that this world has to offer. Some people love and live for fun, and so they are at their high places, in the woods hiking, or in a boat fishing, or maybe around a breakfast campfire this morning, or maybe at the movies. Wherever fun is for them, that's where they are, in their high places, instead of here. Now, it's not, and don't get me wrong, it's not that family and friends and fortune and fun are sinful, or that home or golf courses or stores or fishing boats are bad places to be. They aren't. Those are the gifts of God. And like we said in the collect this morning, we thank God for those gifts. But it's when we start loving those gifts more than the giver that these things become our gods, and their locales become our high places, where we would rather be than at God's temple. So God's flock is scattered about in all of these high places where we are seduced into worshiping other gods, just as in the days of Jeremiah. The forces that scatter God's flock are just as powerful today as they were then. Now, more recently, there has been another force at work that has been scattering God's flock, and we need to address it together. And that's the whole COVID pandemic, from which our church and most churches have yet to recover in terms of worship attendance and people in the pews. It is really shocking what has happened over this last couple of years. The Barna Research Group tells us that of those who had the holy habit of regular worship attendance before COVID, one-third have stopped attending. One-third. I don't know if that's our number exactly, but can you imagine that? Do you see how Satan never lets a crisis go to waste? How he seized his advantage and convinced us that the pursuit of safety is life's highest good? This was something that Professor Joel Bierman pointed out from our seminary. He pointed out how we have constantly been told by our officials that safety is the number one priority, almost as if safety were the Lord and the God of our lives, to be served at all costs. And so initially we stopped attending worship for the sake of safety. But then Satan seized his advantage, didn't he? And it has become something more than that now. And now many of us have lost that holy habit of assembling with the flock to hear our shepherd and to be served at his table, and have developed a new habit instead of being somewhere else. And God's flock is scattered even more. Enter Jesus Christ, our Shepherd King. St. Mark says that he looked out over this vast crowd that had followed him to this deserted place, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, very much like their forebears in the Old Testament. So he has them sit down, and St. Mark says that he began to teach them many things. And so there, near the shores of the Sea of Galilee, God's scattered flock is beginning to come back together again around Jesus and around his words and around his miraculous meal. And the part of this gospel that really grabbed my attention this week was verses 39 and 40 that I read for you. After feeding these crowds the words of God, food for the soul, the time came that the people also needed food for the stomach. But how do you feed such a large crowd in such a deserted place? The disciples pointed out that it's completely impractical to do so, and besides that, too expensive. So Jesus decides that he will make the provisions, and they go out and they find 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and then we read again these words. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. Now, the Gospel of St. Mark is sometimes called the Gospel of Vivid Details. Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the 4 Gospels. And yet Mark often throws in these little vivid details that the other Gospel writers don't. Details which at first glance seem kind of pointless, but upon closer investigation will always yield a much richer understanding of God's Word and of what Jesus is doing. And I wanted to share with you today some of what I found this week in these vivid details, and how Mark uses these kinds of details to remind us ever so gently why we worship Christ and why we do so together, gathered, assembled as the sheep of his pasture. So the first of these vivid details that Mark, and only Mark, tells us is that Jesus had these people sit down on green grass. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us that, nor does Luke or John. So why does Mark include that little detail? Well, another clue is in the word for sat down. And I'll give you a little bit of Greek today. Pardon me for the Greek, but sometimes you just have to dig into the original language to really appreciate some of these details. The word for sat down is the word anakleno. It means literally to lay back or to recline. That's how you dined in those days, in a reclining position. Now, are these just meaningless details? I don't think so. Mark is up to something here. Can you see it? Green grass, reclining. By painting this vivid picture of this crowd reclining on the green grass, Mark is saying that Jesus is the good shepherd of the 23rd Psalm who makes me lie down in green pastures. These vivid details are not literary happenstance. Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is very intentional about this, reminding us why we gather around Christ in the first place, because He is the Good Shepherd and we are the sheep of His pasture. Of course we want to be in His presence. Our Lord and Shepherd is not one of those awful shepherds who drive us away from God. He is the Shepherd who brings us to God. He is the Shepherd who even laid down His life for the sheep, to bring us to God, to reconcile us to the Father in the forgiveness of our sins. What sheep would not want to gather in the loving, life-giving presence of this Shepherd? What child of God would choose any other high place over this place where He makes us lie down in the green grass and the pastures of the preaching of His gospel? And by this vivid detail, Mark reminds us whom we worship. This is our good shepherd who gave His life for us. So what can we say except to say with the psalmist, let us exalt His name together. Another vivid detail that Mark, and only Mark, points out is when he says in verse 39, I think I'll read it for you, that he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. In groups. Now, the Greek word there for groups, and again, only Mark uses this, is the word symposium. And actually, he uses it twice for emphasis. He says that Jesus set these people down in symposium. Maybe a translation might be in groups of groups or in companies of companies. And you know the literal meaning of that word symposium is fascinating. To drink together, symposia. And so this vivid detail emphasizes that special bond that we have with each other when we are gathered around Jesus Christ. A bond like that of the closest drinking buddies. Now, imagine this scenario. Imagine that your drinking company, your drinking buddies are going to get together. They call you up, say, hey, we're going over to the winery. We're going to have a little glass of wine. You want to come along? And you say to them, you know what? I think from now on, I'm going to get together with you guys on Facebook Live. Just set up your phone and we'll get together Facebook Live. I'll have a glass of wine at home and you can have your wine. You're not going to say that. What good is drinking together if you're not going to be together? To enjoy that special bond that you have and to nurture that bond. And so in this vivid detail of how our shepherd sat the crowd down in symposium, we see a picture of Christ's church. Not scattered, but gathered. Bonded together as we drink together the libation of life, the blood of Christ poured out for us on the cross for our forgiveness. As the communion hymn says, Jesus' blood poured, let us drink together. Together. Because in the church are my drinking buddies. And I don't mean to be irreverent about that. But when I share this drink with you, that is the closest bond people can possibly have. And we will do it again here today as we receive the wine of Holy Communion. And together we will hear the words of our shepherd. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood shed for you, for your forgiveness. And yet another vivid detail that Mark, and only Mark, tells us. Again, we read now in the 40th verse. So he sat them down in groups by hundreds and fifties. Now there is that word groups again, but this time it's a different word in the Greek. This time the Greek word is prosiai, which means, of all things, garden plot. In literally, garden plot. And again, Mark says it twice for emphasis. Jesus sat them down prosiai, prosiai. Almost row upon row, like the plants in your garden. So Mark sees this assembled, seated crowd, like I'm looking at our garden right now, as rows of vegetables that need to be harvested while the harvesting is still good. And here again we are reminded why we gather here, seated at the command of Jesus Christ, row upon row in our pews, almost like the vegetable plants in your garden. Because the harvest is ripe. And you are that harvest. He wants to harvest us for His kingdom. While the harvesting is still good, before the day of salvation is past. And of course this harvest can't happen if we despise the preaching of His word and we scatter ourselves to all of the high places of the gods we love. His harvest happens here, when the flock is gathered around the shepherd and around the table that He prepares for us, gladly hearing the word of God and keeping the Sabbath day holy. And so what I really noticed in these readings today is how Mark emphasized these words that mean groupings, the allusion to the flock gathered around the shepherd, the symposium, gathering with your drinking buddies, the row upon row, the prosiai, as if in a garden to be harvested. And in these ways, with these little vivid details, Mark reminds us of the reasons we gather together and are not content to be scattered. Why we must not allow the gods of this world to scatter us to their various high places. And in these days, why we cannot allow COVID to forever scatter us when we should be gathering. We gather here because here is the green grass upon which our souls recline and with which the Good Shepherd nourishes His sheep. His gospel in word and in sacrament, the good news of His dying love and of His forgiving grace. And when we rest here in His grace, we rest to the Lord, just as the third commandment says. We gather because here are our drinking buddies, together drinking the blood of Christ in the sacrament, and thus sharing the closest possible bond together of a common need for redemption and of our mutual faith in the Redeemer and our love for the Shepherd. We gather because here, seated in row upon row, like the garden plants, the Savior would harvest us for His kingdom by teaching us the Word of God. For faith comes by hearing and is nurtured and strengthened at the table of the Lord. And so Mark tells us that all of those who gathered there with the Savior that day all ate and were satisfied. One more Greek word for you, and that is the word for satisfied. It is the word kortazo in Greek, and it means filled. And that's why we gather here, isn't it? Because here, Jesus Christ fills us until our cup overflows with His goodness and His mercy. And you are not going to get that from any other God or at any of their high places. As the psalmist says, He fills my life with good things. And as faith therefore responds, I will give thanks to you in the great congregation, gathered together as the sheep of His pasture. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.